beautiful way to start our service. If you would, stand, and we'll sing hymn number 223, I Stand Amazed in the Presence. Glad to have all of you here, especially our visitors, and we're really glad to have Alice to come and be our speaker today. Are there any announcements to come before us this morning?
Okay, if you would, Quaker Ministries. 4:09 to 6:30, to all the men of the meeting, please come to the fellowship hall for a meal and then this is the meeting after.
I'd like to, from Special Events Committee, would like to thank everybody that came out for the trunk or treat last night and everybody who did a trunk. We had so many creative ideas and all the costumes were wonderful. I mean, we had everything from pirate ships to Hocus Pocus and the Sanderson sisters, and we had superheroes and doctors and all kinds of things that we enjoyed last night. They had pumpkin painting and pumpkin racing and some fun refreshments to enjoy. And so thank you to everyone who came and everyone who made something to make that event a lot of fun. Thank you.
And I heard that you can ask Sophie how a Volkswagen works.
Yeah.
Right, Don? Are there other announcements? Before we do the offering, I would like to share a little story with you. Yesterday, I worked at the State Fair selling T-shirts with the Junior Hosting Association. So, of course, we had this huge display of T-shirts. And this little boy, he was probably, I would guess, 4 or 5 years old. And he walked up and his eyes bulged and he said, "Did you make all these T-shirts?" And it reminded me that the best lessons in life come from children. And we should be saying that to God every day. "Did you make all of this for us?" He sends the seasons. He sends the sunrise and the sunset. And we take it all for granted. So I'm just asking you to be more aware of all the things that God does for us. If the ushers will come, we'll take our tithes and offerings. While they're coming, I did forget, we're celebrating Ginger's, where are you, Ginger? 80th birthday today. So congratulations, Ginger. And we're glad to have her family here. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for all the many blessings that you give us every day, even when we don't say thank you. We pray that you would bless these tithes and offerings and help us to use them to better serve you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
yesterday to kind of get you in the mood. You got to wear your costumes, those of you that dressed up. Well, Halloween's coming. I want to show you what I'm going to give out when people come to my door. Can you hold that one? This one. I want to hold this one. What kind of chair?
This one.
We'll hold this one? Okay. Uh-oh.
Okay.
So what do you think about my candy? It's huge. What do you think it tastes like? Tastes good? You think so? Now, if somebody came, if you go to a door and say trick or treat and somebody tries to put this in your bag, what are you going to say?
Thank you.
Are you sure? Okay, y'all are not going with the plan here. These are tricks. This is trick candy. You think that's real?
No.
No, it's a trick. Have you ever had it? Anybody give you a trick instead of a treat? You always get treats, right? Well, I want to tell you something. Did you know that there's kind of a trick-or-treat story in the Bible? Did you know that?
No.
I was reading this week, and this is what I found out. In Mark, there's a story about a time when the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to get Jesus to tell them which commandment was the greatest commandment. You know the Ten Commandments that we have? We have Ten Commandments, and they were trying to trick Jesus into telling them which one was the best one. And you know what he did? He said, no, he's not going to do that. Jesus said this in Mark. Let me just read to you what it says in the Bible here in Mark. It says, I got my verse right here, 29, okay. Let me get to some of my Sunday lessons. The most important one, talking about the most important commandment, answered Jesus, is this. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. And the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these two. So see, they were trying to trick Jesus into saying which ones were the greatest, but he told them which two were the most important, because if we love the Lord with all of our heart and we love our neighbor, then all the other commandments take care of themselves. Isn't that a good thing? Do you know what the Pharisees did? They went away knowing they had gotten perfect answers, and that they just thought that they were going to trick Jesus into that. So when you hear trick or treat this week, if you get all these tricks and somebody tries to trick you, think about the tricks that they tried to play on Jesus and what he did. He told us about the two greatest commandments. Okay? So can you put my fake candy in here? See, I tricked all of y'all. You thought they were treats. Okay. Let's pray together, okay? You put this in here. Now we're going to play. Okay. You got it. Okay. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for each person that's down here. Thank you for each boy and girl. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless them, that you would keep them safe this week at school. You would protect them. And Lord, I also pray that you would take care of them on Halloween, that you would allow them to get lots and lots of treats, and only tricks that are fun and not tricks that are bad. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, and I think we're going to do the FEMAP collection now. So you want to go over, and if the youth wants to join them, to start collecting the hand towels for FEMAP.
Thank you.
Do we have any praises or prayer requests this morning?
Okay, I have a praise. I want to praise my dear friend and actually relative now, Ginger Osmond. This is an opportunity to do that. Her birthday was some few days ago, on the 17th, is that right? 17th of October. So she's had a few challenges here that we all know about in the last several weeks, and she has overcome those, as you can see, and she is back and helping us out. And I just want to publicly let her know how much she means to me and all she means to me and our families, and how much we hold her in esteem. She makes us work hard. I speak on behalf, I think, maybe of the choir members now, that she holds to a certain standard, and we have to adhere to those standards. She is a lady that began a ministry, I think, when you were, what, 12 years old, Ginger? 11 years old. She began playing and accompanying over at Glenwood, and then through all of her tours of service with Don Osborne, her husband, she again, in a ministry of music and in other ways, probably too countless to mention, served her God and the families here at Center and at a number of other meetings throughout North Carolina Unity. Ginger Osborne, happy birthday to you and many more.
Thank you, Don. Thank you.
Center meeting is very indebted to Ginger also. Are there praises or concerns?
Okay, the Quakers and Olivia have been on our prayer list. I did hear this week that the fires there are out, so they did, our contact down there, a friend, Emma, did ask to say thank you for the prayers that were offered because it worked, and they did receive enough rain to put out the fires that were being so awful down there.
Any prayer requests?
Okay, my sister Barbara Wagner did suffer a fall and has broken areas of her foot and femur and is in a walking boot. Mm-hmm. So if you just please remember her, dealing with the MS and that on top of it, it's quite a challenge, but she keeps going, so please remember her prayers.
Yeah, I taught Barbara in the sixth grade, so I've known her a long time. Okay, could we go to the Lord in prayer? Our Father, we thank you so much for all our blessings. We thank you also for watching over those who need your special touch for sickness and depressions or whatever is going on in their lives. We pray that you would be with us as a congregation and help us to minister to them and to anyone who with whom we come in contact that we could share your blessings with. Thank you so much for being our God, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. How wonderful to have a time of centering down. I love the Quaker tradition, and I come from the Methodist tradition, but with a lot of Quaker roots. In the Methodist tradition, we have about 10 seconds of silence. And so it's wonderful to be able to have some time to center down, to center our hearts, and then even after the message, to have this time of open worship. So I am grateful this morning for that. I want to share with you a couple of scriptures as we begin. Psalm 84, verses 1 through 7. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain also covers it with pools. They shall go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. And from the Gospel, according to Matthew, chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Share with you a song. I'm hoping this is on. His eye is on the sparrow. Resting on his goodness, I Let us pray. God of love, God who watches even the sparrow, you have brought us together this morning and blessed us with your very self. Open our eyes to the light of Christ, which glows in the darkness of a world engulfed in fear, in pain and loss. A world separated from you. Speak to us now that we may hear the good news of your love and care for us. Bring us into the wonder of your presence. Fill us with that light and carry it out with us into our lives. Amen. Well, I don't know if you caught it, but sparrows find a way in both the passage of scripture that I read as well as the song I just sang. In Psalm 84, I have to repeat what the psalmist says. This is my favorite psalm, by the way. Even the sparrow has found a home where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God. What a precious image of a small little brown mother bird building her nest in the courts of the Lord. And in the gospel reading, Jesus asks a rhetorical question. He asks, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny?" And he points out that not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. I think both are just beautiful examples of God's care for each one of us. The Lord sees the sparrow as it falls. Likewise, the Lord numbers each hair on our head, and we are worth more than many sparrows to the Lord. So if that's the case this morning, why should we be afraid of anything? I think that is a good question to ask ourselves, because if we were honest, we would admit that there are many things we are afraid of. Threats to our health, either through illness or accident. A fear that extends not just to our personal selves, but to family members and friends. We are fearful of not having enough finances to cover our needs. We are fearful of the state of our nation and of our world. We are fearful of the violence in the world today. And the list goes on. Where can we go for safety when there is so much trouble in our own lives as well as in the world? Well, the scripture we just read offers us three reasons why we should trust God and not be afraid. Reason number one, God cares about the things that we don't even notice. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father? Well, if you were to look up the word sparrow in your Bible dictionary, you'll find out that in Bible times, the sparrow was the humblest of birds. Well, they were very cheap, and even the poor people could afford sparrows. Even if they couldn't afford a lamb or a goat or certainly a bull in the Temple of Jerusalem, you could always buy two sparrows for a penny. Now, a dollar might buy you a whole bag of sparrows, and you could probably feed your whole family a delicious sparrow casserole just for a dime or so. But when was the last time you actually watched a bird, a sparrow? Maybe you're a bird watcher, and you've already been watching several birds today. I love it when people have these little houses or bird feeders. It's beautiful. But would you ever be able to notice where every bird was on your lawn, let alone the whole world? Well, of course not. But just imagine God, the all-seeing creator of the universe, watching every single sparrow as it goes along on its daily activities. The song that I just sang reminds us that his eye is on the sparrow and that I know he watches me. So as we said, God sees even the sparrow when it falls. And we know that every sparrow will fall to the ground eventually. And likewise, sooner or later, troubles do come to each one of God's children. Sometimes I think we have the idea that being a good Christian will make us immune to those things. It will make our life easy. Our life will be full of troubles. But I hate to disappoint you. Matthew 5:45 says, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. I just love reading from King James Version. So what happens to the people of the world is it's going to happen to Christians as well. We don't have this immunity, as I said. We get sick. The whole world can get sick. People in the world lose their jobs. We lose our jobs. People in the world have accidents. We have accidents. People in the world get cancer. We're part of the world. We get cancer too. People in the world die, we die. It's the same for us as for everyone else on the planet, at least in this earthly life. We are not exempt from any of the trials and troubles of the world. And God notices things about his creatures that show his love and care for all of creation. Whenever we find ourselves going through a very difficult time and no one seems to notice, we need to remember that God notices. God sees us. He feels our pain. He weeps with us. God always notices. Reason number two for why we should not be afraid: God cares about the tiniest details of our lives. Every hair on your head has been counted, as it says in Matthew 10:30. Have you ever tried to count the number of hairs on your head? I hope not. That would be kind of an impossible thing to do. Scientists, though, tell us that the average human head has 100,000 strands of hair. Now, not everybody, but a lot of people have 100,000 strands of hair. And they tell us that about 50 strands of hair fall out every day. It's kind of interesting. The amount of hair that falls out, or the amount of hair we have, varies by color of your hair. Blondes have an average of about 140,000 strands of hair. Brunettes have about 105,000, and redheads have 90,000. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Not that it really means anything. It's fascinating trivia, but not something I think about every day. I mean, when I think about my hair, I'm usually just thinking about my whole head of hair. Is it time for a haircut? Are my gray roots showing? I mean, I just never pick out a strand of hair and said, and say to myself, I wonder how number 538 is doing today. I don't number the hairs on my head, but God does. Think about that for a moment. So in my particular family, it'd mean 100,000 strands of hair for me, 100,000 for my son, 100,000 for my daughter-in-law, 100,000 for each one of my grandchildren and for my daughter, not to mention the hairs on the head of my Aunt Mary and my Uncle Charlie over there. I don't count the hairs on my head, but God does. And based on what Jesus says, God counts the hairs of all of his children, millions and billions and trillions of hairs, probably quadrillions of hairs. He numbers them all. So the meaning is clear. If God cares for all things that matter so little, then he cares for things that matter much. If God knows each strand of hair individually, he knows each one of us individually as well. And God's knowledge of us is not just some general knowledge. It's amazingly specific. He knows each one of us through and through in minute detail. In fact, he knows us better than we know ourselves. So reason number three for why we should not be afraid: God provides and cares for us even and especially when trouble comes. So we are not to worry. The song "His Eye is on the Sparrow" was originally written in 1905 by Sevilla D. Martin and the composer Charles Gabriel. And Sevilla told this story about her inspiration to write it. She said, "In the early spring of 1905, my husband and I were sojourning in Elmira, New York. We'd contracted a deep friendship for a couple by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle, true saints of God." She says, "Mrs. Doolittle had been bedridden for nearly 20 years. Her husband was an incurable cripple who had to propel himself to and from his business in a wheelchair. Despite their afflictions, they lived happy Christian lives, bringing inspiration and comfort to all who knew them. One day, while we were visiting with the Doolittles, my husband commented on their bright hopefulness and asked them for the secret of it. Mrs. Doolittle's reply was simple: 'His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.' The beauty of this simple expression of boundless faith gripped the hearts and fired the imagination of Dr. Martin and me. And the hymn, 'His Eye is on the Sparrow,' was the outcome of that experience." So where do we find security in times of trial? Where can we find comfort when our heart is lonely? Where can we find hope in the face of discouragement? In Matthew 6, Jesus tells his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? Is the body not more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry about what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear. For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, just as the choir sang." How appropriate the Spirit is working in that song and in this verse. "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's a promise that God makes to all of his kingdom seekers. So may we claim that promise today and every day, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches you and me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you care about even the smallest things in our lives. Fix our eyes securely on you. Increase our faith. Banish all fear, that we may live joyfully without fear. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Alice. As we enter into open worship, if God tugs the strings of your heart, that telling you that you need to share something, so please share as you feel led.
I'm not standing up, but I can't help myself. I'm having what I call a Shirley moment. I miss her dearly, because every time the choir performed such a beautiful song that she did this morning, it's just gorgeous. She'd stand up and she spoke every time. It was beautiful. I know you worked so hard on it, it was beautiful. And Alice, your song was gorgeous. And thank you so much for your hard work, and thank you for the gifts of music this morning.
file hearts are clear, please stand and we'll sing hymn number 476, verses 1 and 3.
Shall call. Amen.